Delta 8 and other hemp-derived cannabis products can produce a high like marijuana. But because hemp is legal in Wisconsin, products made from it can be sold in stores. Larry Mueller here, and today on the show we're talking about why unregulated hemp-based psychoactive products are causing some concerns. I have a couple guests for you. With us, John Diedrich, an investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He recently wrote several stories about how legal and safe these products are. John, welcome. Thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Also with us, Dr. Ryan Feldman. Dr. Feldman, a professor at the Medical College of Wisconsin School of Pharmacy. He's seen patients, including many children, who have become sick from ingesting Delta 8. And Dr. Feldman, thank you for joining us as well.
Thanks for having me on the show, Larry.
As we talk with our two guests, I hope you'll join in. Have you seen Delta 8 and other hemp products for sale in maybe a gas station or maybe a strip mall? Have you or someone you know tried them and had good or maybe bad experiences? Join in. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. John Diedrich, let's start with you. Marijuana is illegal in Wisconsin, so why is growing hemp and making and selling ingestible products from hemp legal?
Yeah, that's a good point. That was the gist of our piece that we did. So there's been a lot of debate in Wisconsin. Wisconsin remains one of the states where marijuana is wholly illegal, including for medicinal purposes, medical purposes. That was even debated earlier this year and didn't advance. The reason that these products, these hemp-derived products, hemp-extracted products, Delta 8 being the most commonly known one, the reason they're legal not only in Wisconsin but nationwide is because of the 2018 Farm Bill that legalized hemp and also extractions from hemp. And depending on who you talk to, the sense is that was because of a loophole or a misunderstanding maybe of the science and what was possible. What it unleashed was a whole series of products. And it looks like it was partially done to allow CBD, which is non-psychoactive, to become available. But there's a whole bunch of other products. And now they've come into, and some states have made these illegal or tried to regulate them in some way or another. Wisconsin's really done nothing at this point. So while we don't have psychoactive sort of traditional marijuana that's legal, this product, Delta 8 and sort of chemical cousins are available widely across the state.
Yeah. And you hear and see a lot of advertising relating to it. Basically, they're used for, I guess, a variety of things.
That's right. I mean, they have some of the traditional. We've talked to a lot of consumers who've had good experiences and a number that have had very bad experiences. They are for things like what traditional marijuana might be used for you know, relaxation or sore muscles or things like that. This is some of the uses. And there's a psychoactive component here. And what's unpredictable is the dosing. Because it's a wholly unregulated business, there are some really high levels of dosing that's come in. And so sort of the same reason people are using regular marijuana, they're using these products. There's also an access issue in Wisconsin. There isn't a set age because there's no regulation. So some places are selling for 18, some are selling 21. And a lot of this is also packaged into candy-looking products. And
gummies.
And that's ended up with kids getting it.
Yeah. Well, let me turn to Dr. Feldman. I thought only hemp had only trace amounts of THC. That's, the psychoactive compound in marijuana that gets people high. Is that the case?
So I think you're referring to Delta 9 THC, which is what we think of as the traditional THC that causes the intoxicating effects of marijuana. So the way you classify a plant as a marijuana plant or a hemp plant, it's the same plant. The difference is the amount of Delta 9 THC in it. So a marijuana plant has greater than 0.3% Delta 9 THC, and a hemp plant has less than that, but it can have any amount of other potentially psychoactive THC analogs like Delta 8 THC, and it can have tons of CBD in it, which can then be synthetically transformed because it's a legal product of the hemp plant due to the farm bill, like John was saying, can be chemically transformed into other THC products like we're seeing in the market today, Delta 8, THC acetate, THCP. So there's a lot of, yes, the hemp plant has a low amount of Delta 9 THC, but it really doesn't speak for what else is in there.
And Delta 8 is, you hear a lot about Delta 8, and you do hear about it in a lot of different products, as John was mentioning. I was listening to an ad or a discussion, I guess it was, on the way home from work one day when somebody was talking about a drink being bottled.
Oh, yeah. I can walk right down the street. About four blocks from my house, there is a bar that sells a Delta 8 THC beverage. So it's really pretty much everywhere at this point. And yeah. The marketing is definitely... They're putting it out in front of the faces of consumers, it appears.
Yeah. And John, I mean, in your research, I mean, it's pretty widely available in Wisconsin, isn't it?
That's right. It is. And we did this project as a collaboration with The Examination and AL.com. So this is a national look. We really focused on Wisconsin naturally. But this is happening in a lot of different states. And so in Wisconsin... you know, again, this is obviously gas stations, CBD stores, also like tourist knickknack shops. You might not know there's bakeries. And so you might see a product you might want to ask about. You know, they should be marked as such. But again, without regulation for any oversight. The other thing that we're seeing now is Delta 8 is sort of the one that people know most about. But Dr. Feldman was talking about some of the other analogs, which... there's sort of almost like an arms race that's happening in this industry, which is a big industry. I mean, this has essentially gone from zero to $3 billion a year industry in about, you know, 4 or 5 years. So it's huge, not just in Wisconsin, but, nationwide. And some of these stronger products, we're hearing people having some very strong reactions, psychoactive reactions that are landing adults and certainly children, but even adults in the hospital having some sort of psychotic reactions that are, and part of this is that if regular marijuana has not been studied, and it hasn't because of its classification over the years, this is wholly unstudied. Because as Dr. Feldman was talking about the extracting process, there is no way that you could smoke enough hemp to actually get a Delta 8 high naturally. It has to be extracted. So what the FDA told us was that this is essentially a giant guinea pig experiment that's happening across the country. We have no idea what the long-term effects are. You might ascertain that they're similar to Delta 9 traditional THC, but it's really unknown. And some of these other analogs are much stronger.
And Dr. Feldman, you've seen patients at the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin who have ingested these products. I'm wondering about symptoms. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So one of my roles is actually as a clinical toxicologist with the Wisconsin Poison Center. So I get called about anybody who gets into anything, toothpastes all the way to medications, and certainly gummies that are filled with psychoactive substances wind up on that list. And what's interesting about the farm bill is it essentially unleashed, or at least these new products, suddenly the entire nation seems to have access to edible psychoactives that are in the form of candy, but there hasn't been a lot of coaching on how and where to store them to keep them out of the hands and mouths of children and pets. So we certainly have seen a lot of what we call exploratory ingestions, where kids under 6, they see something that looks like candy and they take it. And that certainly is going to cause depending on the dose that they get into, is going to cause intoxicating effects in an adult. It'll do the same thing in a child. And then we run into problems where, I have a picture from my Poison Center manager of a Baker's chocolate bar. It says Wisconsin Baker's bar, and it contains 2,500 milligrams of Delta 8 THC. in the chocolate bar, and that's about 100 times the normal dose that someone would take. Oh. And I don't know about you, but most people don't eat 1/100th of a chocolate bar. No. So you can get into high doses pretty quickly. And if a kid takes that, the severity of symptoms that we can see are pretty profound. They can be sedated, unable to walk appropriately. There's even some concerns about, you know, how well they're breathing sometimes. And those symptoms can be pretty scary in a child if you don't know why it happened.
And we're going to talk some more about that with our two guests today. John Diedrich, investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Dr. Ryan Feldman, professor at the Medical College of Wisconsin School of Pharmacy. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments and maybe your own experiences if you've had them with these products. We'll be back right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Great to have you along today on the Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about legal but unregulated hemp-derived gummies and smokable products. There are salves. There are even drinks out there. And there's not a whole lot or there any legal restrictions, it seems, on these products. And John Diedrich, an investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, has written about this and is one of our guests. The other is Dr. Ryan Feldman, professor in the Medical College of Wisconsin School of Pharmacy. Great to have them both with us. Have you tried these products? I'd love to hear from you. Have you tried them? What happened? What questions do you have about them? You can give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us, email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. So Dr. Feldman, talking about these cases of children being injured, how are they getting the products? I mean, I guess you could probably from mom or dad or somebody?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, many of the products are now formulated as some sort of an edible food product or candy or soda like we've talked about. So kids are naturally going to explore. Someone had to purchase it at one point. Doesn't necessarily mean it happened at mom or dad's house. Sometimes it's, grandma and grandpa are trying something new for sleep. So people just need to be aware that these are out there now. And it's just like how there's the potential for alcohol in anyone's home that a kid could get into because that's regularly available. Now we have Delta 8 THC and various other analogs that are regularly available. It's kind of funny. This is similar to about 100 years ago, there was candied aspirin was out there. Oh. And as you can imagine, it's probably not a good idea to make a drug in the form of a candy because kids get into it. And about 3 years after candied aspirin came out, preschool-aged children were responsible for or were about 80% of the aspirin-related fatalities. So it's no secret that if you make things look like a candy, a child will get into it.
Yeah.
So we really just need to safeguard, keep things up and away in a locked area, in a safe area, and be aware of the risks.
And John, I imagine you uncovered, and maybe Dr. Feldman, you know this as well, but there have been deaths associated with this. How many people have died?
It's a small number of deaths right now, and those have been reported into the FDA as associated deaths. So there's more research that needs to be done in that area. It's so new as a product. We're talking about fewer than 10 deaths, as I've understood in the literature right now. There was a case of a child in Pennsylvania, and this might be the most troubling, given the autopsy found that intoxication or toxicity from Delta 8 was the primary cause of death. In that case, there were some other confounding medical factors in there, but the triggering event was a consumption of a large amount of Delta 8 products. The other thing, too, is there's children who are getting access through their parents. But again, the big market is also online. And because there isn't a federal age limit, or there's no age limit in Wisconsin that's been set, these can be ordered real easily, you know, online. And, you know, and that is, we're also seeing some NIH surveys that came out just this year, a real sharp increase in use. It's interesting, the only, well, the first government body in Wisconsin to do anything about this was Wood County in central Wisconsin. And the reason they acted, they set an age limit at 21. That's the first county to act. And the reason they did is their health department did a survey and found that these products were all over the place. They were in gas stations right next to regular candy, across the street, in a gas station across the street from a middle school. Their volunteers recovered in one case a Nerd rope that was taking the Nerd candy out of the original packaging, sprayed with Delta 8 and returned to the original packaging, sealed up and just marked as Delta 8. You know, this was available in a gas station. And again, you know, like, will the gas station clerk set a limit? But really, there is no age limit. So, you know, somebody, you know, a child under the age of 18 could do that. And, you know, never mind the online pieces. So it's it's an emerging area, and the use is really growing quickly.
Yeah, and Dr. Feldman, I know you wanted to, I think you wanted to comment as well on the death stats and so forth.
Yeah, I just wanted to shed a little light. I think it's important to note that, yes, there are deaths where Delta 8 or all these other things have been found. I think causation is going to be a whole other discussion, but it's certainly being associated, and some of these big, scary adverse effects are reported. I don't typically presume that a child intoxicated from one of these products is going to end up having a very severe outcome, like if they had gotten into an opioid. That is a one pill can kill kind of thing. But we are seeing, and without knowing all the medical facts around the case, it's very hard to know. But it is important to see that as the concentration of these products are increasing, you know, a 5 milligram THC edible, what used to be kind of in the legal states, that was sort of the standard dose for an adult. That was for Delta 9. But as we're getting products that are thousandfold more than that, we are seeing different effects that we never saw before. So what? We are seeing more severe outcomes and longer lasting clinical effects.
Maybe talk about the effects and what we can see. I mean, what presents?
So it's someone who's intoxicated with a THC product, it can cause, number one, psychiatric symptoms. So you can feel anxious, you can feel anxiety. We've talked about, you know, being disoriented. And that can be very alarming for people and actually cause them to go to the emergency department. I think there's a great phone call on the internet of somebody calling the police thinking they had died because they took too much of an edible candy. So it can be disorienting. But then we could see fast heart rates. We could see excessive sedation. I mean, sometimes when they get into really big doses, when I'm looking at these kids, they almost look like a child who was exposed to an opioid because they're so sleepy. It's very, it's kind of interesting. And the scary part is if a kid took one of those medicines or one of these THC candies and we didn't know that, and they show up to an emergency department and they're sleepy with a fast heart rate, those are very concerning symptoms. And they might end up getting very invasive diagnostic tests like a spinal tap in order to look for an infection of the brain or very expensive scans. So more people getting into this, if we don't know that that's the cause of it, which we're not always going to know without someone telling us, we can usually test for it, but that can take a little time sometimes. It could end up leading to very, what we call iatrogenic injury, which is where the hospital has to do some invasive things to the child to make sure they're safe.
So it becomes important, I think, and I don't know to what extent physicians have any training in recognizing the signs of Delta 8 overdose in children. I mean, they need to be aware, obviously.
Right.
Yeah, it's I think it's emerging in my reporting. What was interesting, so Dr. Feldman's totally up to speed on this. Many are not. I called health departments. I was surprised. Legislators are confused. They don't really know what this is. It just, there's a big learning curve that's happening. And I think it's because, again, patients will present in a certain way that it might be, you know, confusing, but there are adults who are showing up. We have heard since we published adults who have had really strong psychiatric response. And it's not really clear why. It could be the dosing. Again, Dr. Feldman talked about this 2,500 milligram candy bar. I mean, just to, in comparison, the usual limit is 100 milligrams. That's in most legal marijuana states, 100 milligrams. I think Michigan's 200, but this is like off the chart. And again, there's an industry that there are, from what we've heard, good players in the industry. They have lab reports and so forth. It's really hard to distinguish though, because there's no, you know, independent testing. But some of the responses that we've heard of people having, like, you know, basically being kept in facilities for observation because of some psychotic behavior. I mean, there's a somewhat well-known case of a guy who jumped into like a pond at a Bass Pro Shop in Alabama.
Oh.
Naked. And this is a hemp-derived intoxication case, which my partner in Alabama is reporting this out right now. I mean, it went viral, obviously, on the internet.
Yeah.
But just some very strange behavior. And it's just, and again, not to suggest that would be in the heartland of this, and children are sort of like the really, but for adults, it's been an issue for some folks as well.
A number of callers online. Let's go to John in Eau Claire first. John, hi.
Hi there.
What's on your mind?
Well, listen to your conversation, especially with the availability of these hemp-derived products. I live in Eau Claire, and there's shops all over town where you can pick up any number of things. Personally, I wanted to try it, so I went to a new coffee shop downtown and got a coffee with a Delta 9 hemp-derived syrup in it. And I'm lucky I have something of a background, because if somebody else would have ingested what I did, I think they may have gone to the hospital. And I'm afraid that people will go to these places and be told that, oh, this will relax you, or it'll help with your muscle pains, and they'll take something not being fully aware of the effects, and they'll wind up in a bad way.
Yeah. John, thanks for calling. Well, maybe, well, Dr. Feldman, I'll start with you. A comment?
Yeah. I mean, to a naive user, there's not only do you not necessarily know what dose you're taking in these syrups, they might be listed, but the lack of regulation around these products, there's frequently contaminants in them. It might have Delta 9 and Delta 8 and Delta 10. There's nobody really doing the fact checking. And the doses that they claim to have in there, I mean, this is not an FDA regulated product. It's not even a, you know, in Colorado, they have the Marijuana Enforcement Division who regulates product quality. We don't have that going on in these. They can label it to say whatever they want, but it could have tenfold the dose in there. It could have two other products and then some solvents in it as well. We really just don't know or have any fact check. And differentiation confusion, very common.
Yeah. John, do you wanted to add
something? I was going to add one thing that John from Eau Claire mentioned is the presence of Delta 9. And you're seeing a lot of that in hemp-derived stores now. And the reason you are is there is a way to extract Delta 9, which is traditional. It's confusing. This is confusing. But there's a way to get Delta 9 because it appears in trace amounts, that 0.3% in hemp. But again, through the same extraction processes, you can pull that out. So the market, we're seeing a lot more signage and usage around seeing that actual Delta 9, which is not traditional marijuana Delta 9. It's confusing, but it is extracted out. And so if people are seeing that, this is just really, again, we call them kind of chemical cousins. All these cannabinoids are being extracted from the hemp plant. And the example that John shared, we've heard from multiple people who've gotten in some difficult waters with this.
Yeah. But Madeline in Green Bay, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm very concerned, and I really care about children especially. And, the Republican Party controls our state legislature, and they have dug their heels in about medical abortion, but after the children are born, they're not doing anything to protect those children, and even the unborn children, whose mothers consume unregulated crap like that.
Yeah, well, Madeline, thanks for calling. So the legislature, I, you know, John, maybe start with you for comments on that.
Well, it's somewhat deafening, the silence right now. And I have talked to some lawmakers in both parties. It sounds to me like this issue is sort of stuck between, and it really is attached to the legal marijuana issue. And I think neither side sort of wants to blink on that. I don't know if there is a path ahead on this issue, but it does not appear to be that there's an appetite or an interest to regulate, either on the part of Democrats or Republicans. The governor, the attorney general here in Wisconsin did not sign on to, there's a letter from 21 attorney generals that went to Congress asking them to close this loophole. And Josh Call, the attorney general here, didn't sign on. And frankly, some people are just, for the most part, are just not returning calls. They don't want to talk about this. And so that might be a little bit surprising in one sense, but it is the sort of lack of interest and effort is pretty broad here right now.
Yeah. Henry in Madison, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Henry. Henry, are you there? I guess we must have lost him. Dennis in Two Rivers, we'll go to you. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Larry. Something some people may try to escape from their external problems is something that'll get them high, but they don't think ahead. If they overdose on something, then it's internal and there is no escape.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, you're right about that. And as far as the children, I think we, well, now we lost him. Dr. Feldman, you want to comment on that?
You know, I do, because this is an important thing for people to know. I want to bring up the Poison Center as a resource here in overdose. So if you think your child has been exposed, or if you think you took a substance and you're not enjoying the effects that are happening from it, you can call the Poison Center, 1-800-222-1222. It is a free public access line staffed by trained toxicology medical professionals, myself, trained spies, nurses, physicians. Spies are specialists in poison information. Sorry, not espionage. But we can give medical advice and help people through discernment if someone needs to go to emergency department. And those physicians in the emergency department call us to find out if a patient might be intoxicated with Delta 8 or Delta 9. So we're a free resource, and I'd really recommend, given the landscape with all these things available, having us on speed dial so you can get somebody involved who's knowledgeable and can understand the risks of these products in overdose.
And let's give that number again, because probably somebody said, oh, I didn't get, what was that?
All right, yeah, that's 1-800-222-1222.
1-800-222-1222. So there.
Pretty easy.
Yeah, that's an easy one to remember for sure. JR in Cudahy emailed to say Illinois, Michigan, and most recently Minnesota have legalized cannabis. And just while wondering why we haven't done it here yet, they say a couple of companies in Wisconsin have started to grow and sell THCA flowers. And a large percentage of the legal Delta 9 cannabis states already contain THCA.
Yep, that's another side issue here. It's not a derivative market, but it's a way that the industry has found to be able to be compliant under the Farm Bill. That product tests at a legal level. But once it's burned, it converts into regular THC. And that's been, again, another workaround. And we're seeing a lot of that in the market. So listeners are going to see that THCA. And this is, as one shop owner said, in his mind, this is federally legal marijuana. Dr. Feldman, have you seen that product? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I mean, when we have a patient who showed up with these things, it's actually, they might report they've taken something, but we really don't know what's in them, because when we send their urine or blood for testing, we can find all sorts of different things. And sometimes the tests we have available for THC, because all these products are so closely related, they'll all cross-react. So you have to send it off to a very specified lab to find out what exactly they've taken. And most of the times when we do that, patients are surprised themselves of what's in the things that they thought they took, and they end up being quite different.
Yeah.
But so we have very little clinical experience with almost any of these isomers. There's very little research. We don't know how well they act and how intoxicating they can be. They don't have the same pedigree as some of the traditional Delta-9 THC, and they're not evaluated by the FDA for safety or efficacy, anything like that.
I would think that in terms of regulation, there might, I mean, John, you were talking about some quote-unquote reputable companies that have done research and so forth. They might be saying, yeah, we ought to have some regulations. What do you think?
Oh, 100%. They want the regulation. There's some big manufacturers and producers in Wisconsin. You know, in fact, it's interesting. Wisconsin was the first state once hemp was legalized, 2014. That was the Farm Bill of 2014. Wisconsin was the first state. The farmers came on board. It's bipartisan. It's been illegal to grow since 1970. And so it was seen as a boon for the farmers here. And what's grown up since then is not only the farming, but the whole production side of it. And there's a lab here. And their argument is, talking to those folks, hey, we want to do this right. We're getting the right lab testing. I mean,
yeah,
I can't read a lab report. It looks right. But I mean, you know, you would want somebody like Dr. Feldman or somebody else who could read a lab report to know that's good. But they said, we're doing it right. It's costing us a lot of money to do it right. And there's these bad actors. So they're actually asking for the regulation. They want it either at the federal, that the FDA to step in. You know, the FDA is saying they need more clarification from Congress. In the meantime, they'd like the state to step in. They actually want that. That's what they're hearing that. And these are Wisconsin-based companies.
And so we'll, here we are, starting to run out of time here. Is there any effort to try and get the legislature to make some rules on it that you know of?
Well, right now it's discussion points. You know, I did talk to the speaker, Robin Voss, and some of this was new to him, though he had actually been approached by people in his district about this, so it wasn't brand new. But he said it's something that he'd like to look at, the concern that he had. And on the Democratic side, again, it sort of becomes this tug of war, was that each side wants legal marijuana or not legal marijuana. And so this kind of gets left in the middle of that, it sounds like. But it does sound like lawmakers are getting up to speed on this, and there might be some discussion going forward. But again, it's not a lot of other states are moving much faster. I'll just put it that way.
And I want to mention once again that number, that poison control number, is 1-800-222-1222. And it's poison control, and it could be anything. And Dr. Feldman or one of the people he works with will be there to answer your question. John Diederich, thank you so much for the piece, the writing that you've done on this. So appreciate it. And thank you all for listening. And stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.